Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America, author John F. Banas' new book, Storm Surge, is a riveting thriller following a frantic mother on a mission to locate her missing daughter amid myriad deadly threats. A fast-paced work of crime fiction written from a perspective of Brenda Myers, a married woman desperate to find her college-aged daughter in New Orleans as the threat of Hurricane Katrina looms over the weekend levees and the low areas of the crowded city. Storm Surge is the debut thriller by John Banas. John read his first novel, Andromeda Strain, when he was just 8 years old, and he was hooked on thriller novels ever since. He's drawn to stories about average, everyday people who are thrust into impossible situations and called upon to reach above their skill and comfort level in order to survive. John's first published work was a short story for an anthology entitled Down the Block, a collection of tales about life in the big city. Hard at work on his next book, John lives with his family in a suburb of Chicago, a city which provides endless material for his work. John Banas, author of thriller Storm Surge, is our guest on This Week in America. John, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So excited to talk about this in the book and the story that you tell. And it's interesting, I mentioned you live in Chicago. I'm sure you've got a lot of great ideas just walking the neighborhood for future books.
Boy, I'll tell you, with all the politics and the news stories here, it's an endless supply of thriller ideas. So,
if any writer is having a creative block, move to Chicago, and you won't have any problem in coming up with topics to move the story along. John Banas is our guest on the program. That's Banas. If you're Googling, book available at Amazon, the usual places. This book is called Storm Surge. I gave just a brief synopsis of the book, John. Tell us a little bit about the story and where you came up with this story.
All right. Well, it's a story about how the Hurricane Katrina impacted a Chicago family. Brenda Myers, as you mentioned, is the protagonist. And she's going through a really kind of a bad time. Her husband is about to lose another job. She has a former fiance that just won't give up after two decades, kind of an unrequited love story.
Yes.
And Brenda and her husband, Don, are fighting all the time. It's after 20 years, it's, you know, everything's changing and Don's kind of losing interest. The former fiance has just informed her that he thinks his wife and her husband are having an affair. So it's turning out to be a really bad day. On top of all of that, her daughter Ashley is attending Tulane, and she's trapped down there checking on a relative in an assisted living center right before Hurricane Katrina strikes. So, this whole story is about a rescue mission, a mother's frantic love, this trying to overcome and prioritize so many problems and trying to focus on that one that's most important to her, finding her daughter. And it's all about the search and rescue mission.
The book is Storm Surge by John F. Banas, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. You bring that time in history come alive with these personal stories that you tell. I want to talk about that because you've got the personal stories and you've got what's going on with Katrina. You still, from time to time, will read stories about the impact of Katrina and that area still years later trying to bounce back. Why did you decide to write this story about Hurricane Katrina at this point?
Well, I think at this point, you know, I was working on another novel at the time. And this is around 2005, 2006. And I decided to shelve that because Hurricane Katrina was just so, it loomed so large in the news. And it's a story we've seen hundreds of times before. It's like the Titanic, the space shuttle Challenger. It's where humankind kind of, you know, gets very comfortable with itself. And we get too free with and too headstrong, and something happens, and boy, it really develops a whammy. There was so much planning that went into protecting New Orleans, and yet it all fell apart. It's a very compelling story about survival and all the bad things that happen to people down there.
Yeah, you got the weather. You've got obviously the hurricane that plays a big role, and then all the you mentioned the the conflict and what people were going through in relationships. And it all comes to the forefront in Storm Surge, book available at Amazon. The author is John Banas, B-A-N-A-S. I mentioned in the beginning, you're like reading your first novel there at 8 years of age, and suddenly you get hooked on thriller novels. Talk about where this interest came from and why. What was it about Andromeda Strain that really got captured your attention at a very young age?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I lived in a retirement area in Florida back then. It was really sort of before Disney was big and popular down there, and before the impact of Disney really changed the flavor of Florida. So there wasn't a lot of kids my age. I turned to reading. You know, I could either watch TV all day. That was kind of boring. And but when I read, I could imagine, you know, the adventure in my mind, and which is a very common thing people note about reading novels. And, you know, I'll tell you, I saw the movie Andromeda Strain on TV with my parents, and I asked my mom to buy the book. I bought the book and started reading it. And, you know, well, I was eight, so Michael Crichton, who was the author, tends to pepper his novels with a thesis. You know, if one of his characters is a PhD, you get the thesis. And boy, I'll tell you, that was, yes, just way above my head. But I still got through the action part of it. And that was, you know, it was fun reading that and imagining what was happening. And of course, the book is always different from the movie, right? So it was a very enjoyable experience, and that just hooked me. It absolutely hooked me. I could go places and never have to pack.
Well, that's so fascinating. You can really lose yourself in the book. And you mentioned it's interesting. People sometimes think, I'll just watch the movie. You sort of miss, don't you, a lot from that transformation from the book to the movie. A lot of times, a lot's left out that makes for great reading.
Oh, absolutely. You can get into the head of the characters. And if the author's really good, you can see the protagonist and the antagonist side of the picture. And that's a whole different realm. I mean, it's showing and not telling. The old adage, you know, tell or show, don't tell, make the reader experience it. And that way the, yes, book is their own. And that's what really makes them turn the pages.
Well, you do that in Storm Surge. This is the thriller from John Banas, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about character development, because you make them come alive. We feel like we know these people, in particular, Brenda Myers. Talk about having a protagonist as a female. What was the thought process there?
Well, you know, I read somewhere that most of the books purchased these days, especially in fiction, are purchased by women. And so I wanted to make something marketable, obviously. And it's great to be an artist, but, you know, this is a business.
Exactly.
And if you want to be successful, you know, you have to develop a product that's also very marketable. I also allowed somebody to read another manuscript I was working on a long time ago. And one of my protagonists was, again, a woman. And apparently I didn't do very well. And this friend of mine who happened to also be female, she says, you really don't understand women very well, do you? And I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, despite our gender, our race, you know, our political affiliations, religion, we're all really wanting the same things, right? We want to be successful. We want to be loved, and we want to be able to have a good time. We want to laugh. We want to be able to give something back to this world, right? And we want to protect those that we love. So what difference does it make, really? And I thought it was a challenge. So I tried to develop the story around Brenda. I had started out actually making this Don's story, but you know, it seems sort of sexist that way, and so I. You know, everybody ganging up on poor old Don. Well, you know what? I think there's something so compelling about how women can protect their family, the loved ones. I mean, they can be very warlike and vicious, and I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that says something to the strength of the gender, something that, you know, I don't think we really as men experience. So. I had to make this about Brenda.
And we see that emotion, that quality coming out in Storm Surge by John Banas. Book, I mentioned, available at the usual places, including Amazon. Where would you suggest they buy the book? Amazon is easy, and you can remember that because everything's sold at Amazon. Where do you recommend they pick up a copy of Storm Surge?
Well, and like you said, Amazon's a great place. Barnes & Noble is available there. Google, Apple, iTunes. There are, I guess, some third-party vendors that have picked it up as well. And there's a lot of those if you Google the book. Obviously, you can go to Page Publishing. They will direct you to outlets that they have distributed the book to. And you can get it on ebook form or as a paperback.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. You've got the different formats available. Book, again, available basically wherever books are sold. We mentioned the personal story. We mentioned the backstory, which is the hurricane that's going on with all of the other situations that Brenda and her husband or ex-fiance are going through. I talk a little bit about who would enjoy this book. This really is a book that I think anybody would enjoy, wouldn't they?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Anybody who's into the adventure or suspense or thriller novels, anybody who likes that sort of thing, anybody who enjoys historical fiction with a bit of a thriller flair, and anybody who just enjoys reading about current events ripped from the headlines. I can't make that noise that Law and Order.
You know, I could hear it in the background as you were doing it, so it's sort of automatic. If you watch that show a couple times, anybody says ripped from the headlines, you automatically think of Law and Order. You know, you mentioned the research. You didn't take some obscure storm that happened and maybe we remember vaguely and don't. You took something that was a national landmark, and that was Hurricane Katrina. What kind of research did you do to make sure that you told the story as accurately as possible, the story of the hurricane around Brenda?
Well, you know, accuracy was very important to me because this was all over the news. You know, unless you were there, you only got bits and pieces of the story. But
yes.
For that purpose, the internet is an amazing thing. I collected studies, maps, news articles, and pictures, and even studies that were done before anybody thought of a hurricane, you know, taking aim at the city. Google Earth was instrumental in helping me pick out scenes and the environment and how to describe them. They have Street View, and I can actually get addresses and street names and take a look at the condition of a building. And actually, Google Earth helped me decide where the assisted living center was going to be. It was sufficiently close to the industrial canal where we had a huge a break in the dikes that affected more the lower Ninth Ward. But on the other side, it was affected as well. So, you know, and the type of building, that was very, very, very important. However, it was really difficult at times to get a timeline of the conditions. The actual, you know, which way were the winds blowing? I could find out when certain areas like Metairie that flooded and where the flooding was, which, you know, helped me choose the walking path and the boating path of the characters in the story. But, you know, what was the weather like? You know, which, as I said, which way were the winds blowing? And so I had to interpolate some of that stuff as well. And the eye of the hurricane hit somewhat east of the city. So that meant that the prevailing winds started off being east and then northeast winds. And that's one of the reasons why Lake Pontchartrain flooded Metairie. So, you know, those are the kind of things that really were important to me, because anybody who reads this will know if I made a mistake or I was making something up. And I think that loses credibility quicker than a politician opening his mouth. But you know, seriously, the whole thing where you have to gain, you know, the trust of the reader, so the reader will enjoy and grant you credibility and read your stories. That was very, very important to me. So I worked very hard at doing that. And like I said, the internet is an amazing resource.
Well,
I wouldn't believe everything you hear on the internet, but boy.
But some of it is great. Accurate. And it's interesting what you went through to make sure you laid this foundation of what happened. For you, it was almost reliving Hurricane Katrina, reading the stories online as you did. What struck you most about the disaster? Because you really went back and did a second visit to Katrina. What struck you most about that?
Well, you know, they always say that the hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yes.
And I think several things really stood out in my mind. First of all, the politics. Oh, my gosh. You know, we really have to start considering candidates that can rise above partisan pettiness, really, instead of trying to make the other side look bad.
Yes.
You know, help the people who are struggling. I mean, I wouldn't advise relying on the government too much, but seriously, I mean, the whole thing about, you know, well, that's their fault. That's what are we in high school? That really struck me as something that we should have been better at. Also, for all the planning, what really affected me was the lack of preparedness. I mean, for example, the Superdome. That was never really meant to be a shelter, but there was a newscast where Mayor Nagin was interviewed, and he had mentioned that the National Guard was shipping supplies to the Superdome. So I think everybody heard Superdome, and after, you know, the wind stopped and the flood water started to rise, they all migrated there.
Headed to
and
the Superdome.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's just that's an incredible story. And I can see the, as you were talking about that quite vividly, the pictures of everybody at the Superdome, outside the Superdome, wondering what's going to happen, what was going to happen to their lives. John Baines is our guest on the program. Boy, time going by so quickly. It's such a fascinating backstory and story, this personal relationship you have with Brenda and all that's going on around her, dealing with the elements and dealing with the personalities involved. The book is Storm Surge, available, as we said, Amazon, the usual places. Talk about your background. What do you do for a living, and was that influential in how you went about writing the book?
Actually, it was. You know, I'm in the information technology business. I'm a IT project manager, so I manage the creation of system changes and building of systems. I don't actually do any of the work. I just, you know, sit around and take the credit or become the scapegoat. But what that does is it you know, I plan for a living. That helped me plan the book. It helped me identify bad things that could happen to the characters and how they would survive those things, how they would deal with those events or not. So that was instrumental. I also, at one time, in the very early stages of my career, right after college, I became a bill collector, and I hated that job. But you know what? I learned to listen to people on the phone, and the cadence, tone of voice, word choices, I knew exactly what they were telling me without, you know, them actually telling me that.
Yes,
I tried to use that flavor to flavor the characters. For instance, New Orleans, a lot of Cajun speak down there, and I actually found a website that would help me determine, you know, what certain phrases meant. And I didn't use it a lot, but just enough to give the reader an idea that yes, they are in New Orleans and that they speak a certain way down there, a certain dialect. But I got to tell you, if you ever read any of Mark Twain how he writes in dialect, sometimes it gets very tiresome. So I tried to throttle that very carefully.
Yeah, it's nice for a while, and then it sort of bogs you down as you're trying to read through that. So I'd say, John Baines, our guest on the program, Storm Surge is his book. I want to talk briefly about your approach to writing and the development of these characters in the circumstances that they were in with the hurricane. Did you have this, like, finely tuned before you sat down to write with an outline and knew where everybody was going to go? Or did this just sort of develop as you were telling their stories?
Well, you know, I started off in writing thinking of myself as an artist, you know, and the blank page, or in my case, a blank screen,
yes,
was a badge of honor, right? However, this blank canvas doesn't sell a lot of books. So, and in the end, publishing houses, they don't like to take risks on new authors because they're untested. And I understand that. It's a business. They're there to make money and not write or produce the great American novel. So I met Jeffrey Deaver through a cousin of his, actually, who was attending the Writer's Loft, Writer's School in Chicago here. John Deaver introduced me to his cousin, the famous bestselling author, who's known for his twists. And I got a little bit better introduction, you know, a little bit more personal introduction through his relative. And he advised me once. He found out what I did for a living. And he says, well, John, you wouldn't build a computer system or a plane or a bridge without a plan, would you? And I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense, because that really spoke to what I did for a living. So I switched from being an artist to a planner, somebody who, like yes. James Patterson, will write a synopsis, you know, and they'll spend eight months doing that. And then it becomes, you know, you add the ifs, these, he said, she said, you know, and it becomes
exactly,
a novel.
Exactly, yes. You know, it's a fascinating how you go about doing that and getting advice along the way. Now, we mentioned the book's available in ebook. You've gone through the self-publishing route rather than traditional route. Talk about that and getting started so you get somebody's attention with your work.
Well, you know, seriously, it's I think you've heard the story, you know, the phrase that if you want to do something right, you got to do it yourself, right?
Exactly. Yes.
It's very difficult for a new writer to get picked up. I mean, it happens. It happens all the time, right? But if you look at all the advertisements, they're all for established authors, because that's a known thing. You know, James Patterson, David Baldacci. You know, they're going to sell books, and they're the sure thing. So I think this self-publishing, this vanity press kind of thing is a wonderful thing for two reasons. One, it gets you around the initial, you know, please, be
yes.
interested in my book, pick it up and make me a best-selling author. It doesn't work that way. So, after years of trying, I've been at this for 4 or 5 years, actually just trying to get a traditional publishing house to, or a literary agent to be interested in me. But again, there's that risk there. And so they shy away from newer authors. The whole thing about the vanity press, the ebooks, the self-publishing, it opens up the reader to a myriad of choices. There's so many more colors to the palette now. And I think it's a wonderful thing. The only thing is you have to promote your book, and to make money, you've got to spend money. And so you're doing the footwork that normally a traditional publishing house would do. That's the one disadvantage of self-publishing. But I'll tell you, it's, you do things your way, and, you know, there's a myriad of vendors out there that are willing to help you.
And I think
publish your book.
You're going to get the attention of traditional publishers if you haven't already with the job you've done. Just it's such a great read. Storm Surge, John Banas. That's Banas. If you're Googling, book available at Amazon. A couple minutes left in the program. It sounds like thriller genre is your favorite. Is that true? And what are you working on now?
Well, yes, it is true. I mean, thrillers, I mean, are very action oriented, and they're very they're not like the procedural police mystery, you know, crime whodunit thing. I don't think I'm good at that. But the thriller, the adventure, the suspense, I love that. And so therefore, if you love something, you're going to be better at it. You're going to care about it more. What's next for me? I've got ideas for like 20 more books. I'm currently working. I'm currently working on a paranormal thriller. So from, you know, kind of being in the James Patterson space, I'm kind of leaning towards the Stephen King space. So, and that came about because I was in the shower once. We were camping at a racetrack that we were going to. A hobby of mine was doing time trials with my car. And I would take the kids along, my wife, we'd all camp. And well, it was Halloween or getting near Halloween. And we were going to be telling stories around the campfire. And I made up a story in 10 minutes in the shower about Jake Speed and his old blood red Ferrari number 13, and how he lost his life in a terrible racing accident, decapitated. And then, you know, we're around the fire. I'm relating this story, and would mention that, you know, when the moon is full and, the racetrack is still at night, sometimes you can hear him searching for his head at Dead Man's Curve. And of course, at that moment, there would be a little squirrel or something that would race across the ground and disturb leaves. And I instantly became the troubadour, the poet laureate of the racetrack. So.
So now Jake Speed, is that the character's name?
Well, that was in my story for the ghost story around the campfire. I'm working on a paranormal thriller where I have some characters who are based in Chicago, by the way, who will investigate paranormal activity, and with a myriad of people who are vultures, folks who have done better than a particular my protagonist, yes. An author. So yeah, I mean, this next paranormal thriller I hope to finish by spring next year will be about an individual who teams up with a ghost hunter type of vendor who takes people visits the haunted sites in Chicagoland area. Something I'm very familiar with. We used to do a lot of that when we were kids. And how they solve mysteries and deal with paranormal activity and survive various situations. So it's I'm looking forward to that one a lot. I think paranormal and ghost stories are fun.
I'm looking forward to that as well. I think you need to circle back to this Jake Speed with the decapitated race driver. I think you have something there that's I had chills as you were just describing that. So I hope you come back and visit that. But you don't have to wait for anything from John. His book is out, the fast-paced work of crime fiction, the thriller Storm Surge, the book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. John F. Banas is Banas. If you're Googling, book available, as I say, at Amazon, the usual places. Working in promotion of the book with King Pages Press, and I thank them for arranging our interview with John today. John, it's been a pleasure. Loved having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. Look forward to more works from you. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. The book is Storm Surge. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.